Hey friends, it's Sarah Rittendale. When I decided to act against all the toxic thoughts and feelings I was living with daily and try to become my best self, I quickly fell into the very common trap of perfectionism. So, I decided to create a space where wellness doesn't mean being flawless. Becoming the best version of yourself doesn't just come from conversations about managing your mean mind, learning confidence, and always doing the things that you're supposed to do. Here, we talk about how normal your toxic feelings and thoughts are, that you're not doing something wrong because you don't always feel, think, or act how you envision your best self to, how to implement self-improvement strategies in a realistic way, and we do this through a variety of topics that often prompt our best selves to crave emergence. My mission? Inspire you to recognize that you don't have to be perfect to consider yourself whole, healthy, and well. This is the Well-ish Podcast. Welcome back to day two of the 28 days of self-love. Yesterday, we discussed redefining self-love so that we have a clear image of what self-love is so that we can work towards embracing it. Essentially, how it changes through the different stages of your life and that it doesn't look the same for every single person, and it doesn't look the same for you at every single moment of your life. So now that we have redefined what self-love is, today we're going to shift into what gets in the way of it. Because before we can really embrace self-love, we have to be clear on what drains it. For a long time, I allowed certain behaviors from people. I allowed myself to be in certain environments. I allowed certain habits that I was following through with consistently to just be a part of my life. I just thought that that's the way things were, that it was almost like this lack of control. Like, it's just, that's just how they act. Like, it's just that they are how they are, or this situation just is what it is, or I have to continue with this habit, even though it drains me and makes me feel bad, because that's what I've been told is the only way that's going to lead me to success. And so being able to say, wait, I don't have to put up with bad behavior from people. I don't have to put up with these environments that don't make me feel good inside, that don't fill me up. Even something, even if it's not, you know, directly negative, like the mentality that being an extrovert is the way to be, because that's who everybody likes, is the people that are extroverted and the people that are bubbly, the people that are talking, the people that are doing things, you know, everybody always thinks that like they're the cool, popular person that you're trying to shoot for. When in truth, introverted isn't bad. It's just, where do you feel full? Do you feel full from spending time alone and self-reflecting and doing like more with your close group of people? Or do you feel full by going out and interacting and being with people? What fills you up? There's no right or wrong answer. And for me, it's being more introverted. And so I had to move away from this identification that I had given myself for like my whole life and start to say, it's okay. You know, I am introverted. I do feel full. And then I can make decisions that correlate to my self-love more, because I know that I feel full when I'm in situations that aren't so extroverted friendly. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel full having to make small talk and like do all of these things. So in whatever example that is for you, you know, maybe if you're in a relationship with somebody that doesn't treat you very nicely, but you think, you know, you're going to fix them. You think, I have to make this work. It's almost something that you're trying to like win at, you know, it's not even about the relationship and complacency anymore. It's just you trying to succeed and make them love you. Or maybe it is this, like, it's the easiness of the relationship. It's what you've always done. You've always put up with this behavior. It's, you can't say no now because you've said yes to it so many times that you are in these environments that are not good for your well-being. So those three things that I have identified are the silent self-love killers: people, environment, and your habits. A good example of habits that drain your self-love, one being self-talk. The way you talk to yourself is a habit. That is something that you can change. And just as easily as you can talk poorly to yourself, you can talk nicely to yourself. You just have to catch it and re-change, course correct that mentality and try to talk to yourself a little bit more realistically. Here on the podcast, I don't love to talk about negative versus positive because I don't think that's, you know, it leans into toxic positivity. And like when shit's going bad, you can't just be like, but it'll be all right. Like it just, that doesn't work. But saying, okay, but maybe like the worst case scenario isn't going to play out. What if this happens instead is a better way to talk to yourself than just like berating yourself inside of your mind and reminding yourself to talk to yourself like someone you love. You wouldn't talk to your friend the way that you're talking to you. So why do you talk to you that way? Huge one that I super fall victim to is overcommitting and burnout, that you think that you're doing this stuff, you're working hard, you're doing all of this so that you can have the end result, the final outcome, and you've got to be disciplined and you have to always be motivated and all these things. So you're pushing yourself and pushing yourself and pushing yourself and never allowing rest. That's not taking care of yourself and it's a bad habit. We talked about this one yesterday, the constant comparison, horrible habit. I have told myself that I'm not allowed to compare myself to stuff that I've seen on the internet. In other words, when I hear myself ruminating about things that I wish my life looked like, and I got that idea from the internet, I've told myself I'm not allowed to think about that anymore. So building the habit of focusing on what you, where you're at, what stage you're at, being in competition with yourself and thinking about what you need is a better habit to develop than beating yourself up because your life doesn't look like somebody else's. And then another bad habit is the validation seeking, like trying so hard to be validated by other people or through actions so that you can feel that you're good enough. It's the habit of self-validation that you need to learn, looking at the areas and being aware of the areas where you start to feel yourself flailing and seeking that external validation and talking to yourself about it. How do you feel about it? Do you believe in what you said? Do you believe in what you do? Do you think that this is a good idea? And remembering to ask yourself those questions so that you can say, yeah, I do. And I'm okay with that answer and I can move forward. The second silent self-love killer is people. I'm sure you're not shocked by this one. Toxic friends, toxic relationships, one-sided friendships, all of this stuff that you're putting your energy into, but they don't give you that same energy back. Absolutely not. That stuff has to be cut off because nothing will make you feel like you're not worthy of love more than a relationship like that. And you try to wrap your mind around why they don't think that same way that you do, and you literally can't. And you want to know why? Because your brain doesn't fucking work like that. Simple. That's literally the only reason why. And I don't have time. I don't have the energy to give to those kinds of relationships. I'm simply not doing it. Another big one is people who don't respect your boundaries. Now, I was talking to my sister about this the other day because you don't owe anybody an explanation for you setting boundaries or the boundaries that you set. But you, if you want them to be honored, you have to give the person a why. I'm setting this boundary because it doesn't make me feel good. That's enough of a why. You know what I mean? Or this, I'm setting this boundary and this is what I would prefer instead. But the people that don't respect that, the people that when you set the boundary, you've given them the why, you've said, you know, this is how it makes me feel. And they just don't give a fuck. They can only see as far as themselves. They can only do what serves them. And they don't care if that doesn't feel good for you. They're going to do their best to manipulate reality in order to make what they want happen because they care about what they want and they're not worried about your boundary, the things that don't make you feel good, the things that you want. And if somebody cares about you, they will care what you want and what you feel. Another good one is criticism disguised as concern, that they're just projecting their own shit onto you. And so they want to come to you and say, oh, well, did you think about this? Well, you want to make sure that they don't do X, Y, and Z. I think that you might really have this opinion on this subject, but it's all of their own stuff. And you just think, you're making me feel icky. It's like, it's just like plain and simple, like all of the things that just don't make you feel full and feel good inside. If you have that experience with somebody, it's not you. It's not you. It's them. Okay. It's them. Like, they shouldn't be making you feel that way. And if they do, maybe they wouldn't make another person feel that way, but they make you feel that way. So it's going to make it a lot harder to love yourself if you're surrounding yourself with people that have these ways of going about things. And then some environments that chip away at your self-love. A good example would be not being valued at your workplace. You are never told good job, you're overworked, that you feel taken advantage of. They only want to point out the things that you do wrong, or you're only in trouble when you do something wrong and are not praised or told, you know, you're doing something right ever. All of those examples, it drains you. It makes you feel like you lack worth, like you have constant stress, you are lacking recognition. There's just like petty drama happening. It's not an environment that is going to be easy for self-love to flourish. I think this is the one that I see the most often: unhealthy home environments. If you are in a space that does not feel peaceful, it is going to be a hell of a lot harder to love yourself. Your home should be your sanctuary. And if you are living with a person If you're living with a person that drives you nuts, you're fighting, they don't contribute to the household, it's just not a good, peaceful space for you to be in, that's not good. That goes back up to the relationship aspect that we were talking about, people. But also, these environments can look like, you know, a super messy, you can't find anything. Essentially, at the end of the day, does your home bring you peace? And if the answer is hesitancy or no, it's not a good space for self-love to flourish again. Another really bad environment is the social circles that feel performative, that you have to show up as this specific version in order to be accepted by the friend group. Like, you have to be perfect, or you have to be funny, or you have to be loud, or you have to do drugs, or you have to drink, or you have to, you know, do whatever. Like, anything that you feel that you are performing, that you're not truly showing up authentically yourself, or that you wouldn't be accepted in the social circle if you did show up authentically as yourself. The most difficult piece of knowing the self-love drainers is they are some of the most difficult to overcome and get rid of and remove from your life. Let me tell you, it takes time, and you are not going to make the change until you are ready to make the change. A lot of self-improvement people will tell you to just take action and do it, and I just want to validate you that that's not always realistic to do right away, and to try to trust yourself by looking at past life experiences that you knew when change was necessary and you made that change. Maybe that change was a long time coming. Maybe you have changes that you wish that you had made sooner, but you have to love yourself enough to know that it's not going to happen all at once. When it's the same, when you think of it for positive events, sometimes that makes it a little bit easier. Like, when you start dating somebody, you just start dating them. When you're ready to break up with that person, maybe it takes a little while, but you do finally just end that relationship. There are things that, you know, it will take you a little while to get there. There's things that are probably terrifying to think about shifting in order to clear out your self-love drains, but trust yourself that with this in mind, you'll be able to do it. And this is the biggest point, is the power of awareness. Noticing the patterns is going to be huge in starting to make a change. The first thing is recognizing the signs. When you're around these habits, people, environment, do you feel drained? Do you feel stressed? Do you feel that you're questioning yourself or how you're showing up? Do you feel like you're on defense? Do you feel like you're uncomfortable? Do you feel any of these, you know, negative, icky feelings? More likely than not, that person, environment, or habit is a self-love drain. Your mind and your body will always send you the signals. So listen to them. Then once you start to become aware is when you can start working towards breaking the cycle. Again, it's not going to happen all at once. Do not listen to this episode and think, oh my God, I am so stressed now because what am I supposed to do about X, Y, and Z situation? You know it. You've got it. Sit with it. Figure it out. You've got time. Don't worry. And there's nothing wrong with you for taking the time to do it and to figure it out. But noticing the patterns allows you to start making better choices. Okay, today's daily self-love challenge, we are going to take a self-love audit. Take a note of one habit, one person, or one environment that makes you feel less than. Ask yourself why it drains you and if it is something that you can change, limit, or set a boundary around. Again, no pressure to change anything today. It's just an act of paying attention. Today's journaling prompt is pretty similar, as I'm sure you can imagine. What is one habit, relationship, or environment that drains your self-love? How does it make you feel? And what small step can you take to limit its impact? You can take time to self-reflect and journal about it in your own journal at home, or if it's helpful, you can write about it in the comments. Whatever is going to help hold you accountable and make sure that you get your journaling introspection done. You cannot fully embrace self-love without being aware of what is working against it. The more aware you become, the easier it is to protect your peace. Tomorrow, we're talking about unlearning perfectionism, how striving for perfection blocks self-acceptance. Make sure to share what you learned in your journaling reflection and your self-love audit with me on Instagram at Wellish Podcast and use the hashtag 28 days of self-love. And of course, if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe so that you do not miss any one episode of the 28 Days of Self-Love. So at the end of the month, you feel fully capable of self-love. Thank you guys so much for being here. I will talk to you tomorrow.